Blog Talk Radio.
Glorificamos por mais esta noite a tua família aqui reunida, Senhor. Tu venhas abraçar os teus filhos, encher-nos do teu espírito, que passeis entre nós e que o teu nome esteja sendo glorificado em tudo. Cada um de nós possa receber a sua porção da tua graça que preparaste para o teu povo. Que nenhum dos teus filhos seja impedido de ouvir, sentir a tua presença, Senhor, nesta noite. todos aqueles que estão ouvindo agora e aqueles que ainda irão ouvir mais tarde, todos eles sejam cheios da tua presença. Recebam a tua graça naquilo que são necessitados. Em nome e para a glória de Yeshua, nós oramos. Amém. Amados, bem-vindos. Estamos felizes por mais este encontro que Deus marcou connosco, para o adorarmos, para o servirmos, para lhe dedicarmos o nosso coração, o nosso tempo. O mundo não entende o que é que um povo faz a esta hora, reunido, buscando Deus, buscando adorar a Deus, a sua presença. Mas nós entendemos que o Espírito Santo em nós nos conduz a toda a verdade, a toda a santidade, e vai trabalhando nos nossos corações para cada vez mais entendermos as coisas do Espírito Santo. Nós queremos agradecer a vossa presença, todos aqueles que estão ouvindo, todos aqueles que já estão habituados a este programa, estão se identificando com os propósitos deste programa. Nós queremos hoje dar a vinda a dois irmãos em particular, que fazem parte de uma comunidade online de adoradores, que vão estar aqui dando o seu testemunho sobre o que é que encontraram nesse tipo, nesse novo paradigma de adoração a Deus. Ele chama-se Michael, ela chama-se Diana. Estarão aqui dando o seu testemunho, como Deus os conduziu e os tem abençoado neste novo paradigma, que, para mal de muitos mercenários, vai ser aquilo que vai prevalecer. Porque a vontade de Deus prevalece. E quando um sistema falha em cuidar dos filhos de Deus, Deus move montanhas, Deus move, prepara vidas e cria instrumentos para que o seu povo seja cuidado, como deve ser. Nós vamos estar a dando as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos depois do período de adoração. E isto também estaremos transmitindo em inglês para tantos irmãos que estão chegando do outro lado do oceano, mas a norte do Brasil, a América, também um pouco por toda a Europa. Estão chegando ao programa e estão se identificando com o Deus que reina aqui. Que Deus abençoe a todos. Preparemos então para um período de adoração e vamos dar as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos em inglês. Que Deus abençoe e fique connosco. My brothers and my sisters, my family, thank you again for joining us on this special program we have tonight, that I hope it will be the first of many more. It will bring people that love the Lord with all their heart and understanding, people that the world doesn't know. They are not know, but for the Father, they are special. They are special people. And it's the Father that is inviting their sons to come and talk about their experience with the Lord, about how the Holy Spirit is guiding these lives, even through great valleys, and how faithful is our Lord and Savior. We will have tonight the first two guests of brothers in Christ that they are not known outside on the internet, but they work for the Lord. They are soldiers. They are precious lives in the Lord. We will be bringing Michael and Diana, who are experiencing the new paradigm of worshiping God. They are experiencing the life of worshiping in the internet. And it's not a surprise for me, because we know, and I know, how creative is our God. He changes the conditions, and if their sons, they are not well treated on the congregational paradigm system, God will change the system. God changed the time, the rulers, and the system. That's sake of much more mercenaries that are there, giving bad example to the world. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to tell them that your house is going down, deeply down, if you don't repent what you are doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God has already provided the house of David to change, to take the place of unfaithful kings that were blessed by God. And they start stealing the glory of God for themselves, for their own king, for their own project. But there is a house of David is being prepared on the rock. It's hiding from you, you bastards, you false preachers, false brothers that only want to enslave the people that they are, don't belong to you. But not even one sheep of our Lord will stay in your hands, because God is raising faithful pastors, faithful prophets, faithful soldiers to take care of their precious lives. And this is what we are going to hear from the mouth of the first two witnesses that we will be bringing on this show. People that are experiencing true love, not in the temple of bricks, but in the hearts of young brothers that maybe live far distant, but they are so close in the Holy Spirit. So please, open your hearts, prepare to worship our great God, Jesus Christ, Yahushua, in his original language, to welcome our guests, Dina, Diana, and Michael. And I hope that next week we will bring more brothers and sisters that want to share their joy of belonging to this family. This family that is not family of blood, liquid blood. It's spiritual family brought by the cross of Jesus Christ, by the blood that he shed on that cross. Stay blessed, my brothers. Yes, let's worship and welcome our God. And then I will bring our dear brother and sister to join us and to share what they have to share with us. May the Lord bless you all. And let's praise the Son of Man, Jesus, our love. Stay blessed.
Eu não mereço tanto amor. Eu não sou digno do seu perdão. A dor que passou meu rei e meu senhor, sempre o adorarei com amor. O filho do homem me libertou verdadeiramente. Verdadeiramente posso erguer minhas mãos aos céus, levantar a minha voz e adorar, levantar a minha voz e exaltar, levantar a minha voz só pra dizer: livre eu sou. Filho do homem me libertou verdadeiramente, verdadeiramente. Posso erguer minhas mãos aos céus, levantar a minha voz e adorar, levantar a minha voz e exaltar, levantar a minha voz só pra dizer: livre eu sou.
verdade. Eu não mereço tanto amor. Eu não sou digno do seu perdão. A dor que passou, meu rei e meu senhor, sempre eu adorarei com amor. O filho do homem me libertou verdadeiramente, verdadeiramente. Adorar, levantar a minha voz e exaltar, levantar a minha voz só pra dizer, livre eu sou. Filho do homem me libertou verdadeiramente, verdadeiramente. Posso erguer minhas mãos aos céus, levantar a minha voz e adorar, levantar a minha voz e exaltar, levantar a minha voz só pra dizer, levantar a minha voz e adorar, levantar a minha voz e exaltar, levantar a minha voz só pra dizer. Forte esse aplauso a ele. Você é livre.
Grace upon the creation. derrama tua glória, derrama tua glória, Senhor. Mostra o teu poder neste lugar. Derrama tua glória, Senhor. Mostra o teu poder neste lugar. Mais uma vez, derrama tua glória, Senhor. Derrama tua glória. Mostra o teu poder neste lugar. Cante com fé, derrama tua glória, Senhor. Mostra o teu poder neste lugar. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Mas ao teu nome seja glória. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Mas ao teu nome seja glória, não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Mas ao teu nome seja glória, seja honra, seja o teu poder neste lugar. Derrama tua glória, Senhor. Mostra o teu poder neste lugar. Derrama tua glória, Senhor. Mostra o teu poder neste lugar. Não a nós. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Mas ao teu nome seja glória. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Não a nós, Senhor. Mas ao teu nome seja honra. Seja honra. Seja o louvor. Seja a adoração. Se ao teu nome seja glória, seja honra, seja o louvor, seja adoração, se ao
Healing. Hello.
Hello, Father. Hello, Diana.
Hello.
Diana.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes, Diana. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great to have you here again and talk again with you. My sister, it's a pleasure to have you here in our show. I wonder that you would be the first of a lot of brothers and sisters that we will bring to our show to share with us the love.
Well, I suspect there's a lot of witnesses out there.
I think that Michael is already online too. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And Jose, you can just call me Mike.
Hey, brother.
How you doing,
Mike?
Brother?
Okay. I'm
it's
fine.
It's so great to talk to you again.
Yes, it's a pleasure for me too. I know that our brothers and sisters that are hearing the show, they are feeling the same way. They are full of joy. They are full of the spirit of our great Father. This is the gathering of the saints. This is a project that our Father has in his heart, because he never
absolutely
he never leave us alone.
Absolutely.
He never leave us alone. Right? He's not like the men. So today we will be starting to share with others the experience of having found the family online. So we will split this program. I just want you to remember that I need to update your ideas in Portuguese, so please remember this when you start to sharing your experience. But I know you have a lot to tell us, and I know that we will be satisfied with the things that you are going to tell us. So I just want to remember, please remember that we have a lot of people that doesn't speak English.
Right.
So from time to time, I will interrupt you to update, okay, if you don't remember. But it's not with
okay.
bad intentions, right?
Absolutely.
So let's start with the ladies first.
Absolutely.
My dear sister, I know that you have a great story to tell us tonight. But feel free to start telling a little bit of you. How do you find our great Savior? And then I will update from time to time what you are going to tell me, okay? To tell us.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say that it's difficult for me to go on the radio and speak about my experiences because I have on my heart so much that I want to share, you know, of the Lord. And I just want to make myself smaller and smaller that he may be magnified. So that's why you found me a little bit reluctant. But when we spoke last night, you gave me what could only have been a word from the Lord, a confirmation. When you spoke about your vision and a vision that I have had. So, but before I say that, I will say that I used to be a habitual sinner. I've experienced many, many, many. Yes, and I've experienced many, many, many times that I could have died, and the Lord woke me up, and He saved me from my sin. And he didn't let me die in my sin. I've been healed from cancer twice, just for starters. Excuse me. And so it's precious to me to be able to relate that to anybody. But not speaking so much about myself, I just am very grateful. I'm very grateful. And I get to live every day. I get to live a life of just being the handmaiden of the Lord, and I find so much joy in it. And every day he brings something else to me. So I don't say I'm a this or that. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a healer. I'm not a this or I'm, you know, deliverance. I'm just the handmaiden of the Lord. But he, you know, he gives me and just does such wonderful things, equips me in ways I would have never, ever thought of or dreamed of. And it's such a pleasure and a joy. That's how I live every day.
Every day.
I don't know also what you are, if you are a prophet, if you are a
pastor.
But I know one thing that you are, for sure. One thing I know, I am absolutely sure that you are a precious daughter of our King. You are a princess.
Amen.
So the rest is just a bonus, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's the best life I've ever had.
I'm going to update this introduction in Portuguese, and you better be prepared to tell us how you found the family on the internet, because I know that you have a lot of friends on the internet, brothers and sisters. So this is the second thing I want you to tell us, because this is the first of the, I hope, many shows that I will put in the air to prove that we don't need nothing of what the mercenaries have to offer now on these days. God is enough with us. We have a Father that He will take care of us, even if it's necessary, on the moon, on Mars, on Jupiter, but He will be there. So you are the first of many witnesses that I hope I will bring here that will help to destroy the fake gospel, the fake salvations that house with bricks,
the comfortable one,
falsely proclaim to provide there. Okay? So just going to update, and then you will tell us how you were guided to our family, to our brothers and sisters on the net, and what is the fruit you are hitting there. And then later we will bring your vision. But before you bring your vision, I will ask the same things to Michael, just for he doesn't stay too long waiting, okay?
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Can you hear me
okay? Just give me... I can hear you, Michael. Yes, we can. So just give me 2 minutes, and then we go to your story, how Jesus guide you to the family online, okay?
Okay.
Amado, essa irmã teve-nos a falar do seu início, né, da sua caminhada, como ela tinha tantos problemas antes de conhecer o Senhor, inclusivamente. O Senhor curou 2 vezes de câncer e o Senhor resgatou-a, não é? As garras da morte, as garras do pecado, como todos nós, e trouxe-a, dirigiu-a para... Numa caminhada que hoje, onde a irmã se está realmente alimentando, são em comunidades online, sentindo o verdadeiro amor dos irmãos, o carinho que por muito tempo foi perdendo em certos paradigmas anteriores de entendimentos, falsos entendimentos que acabaram por virar prisões espirituais. Mas nós vamos ouvir em detalhe essa história e a irmã também tem uma grande experiência, uma visão para nos contar. Nós iremos mais à frente deixá-la contar e detalhar o que eu acredito, pelo que eu já pude perceber. Esta irmã é muito visitada pelo Senhor, é muito querida, tem muita intimidade com Deus e estará trazendo uma visão que vai nos edificar a todos. Então, as amadas, ela agora vai nos falar como ela foi guiada às comunidades da internet e como tem sido abençoada através do corpo espiritual, que não precisa de instrutores que valorizam mais os lugares do que o Deus dos lugares, né? Porque o próprio Senhor Jesus disse que os verdadeiros adoradores não o adorariam aqui nem ali, mas em espírito. Espírito, em verdade. Amen, sister. Please tell us a little bit how God conduct you to the worshiping family that you have found.
Okay. Well, very early on, when I was first saved, I would ask the Lord, and I do tug on Daddy's shirt a lot. I do that a lot. I'll keep asking. Mm-hmm. But I asked the Lord to give me discernment. And it was very important to me that I not be deceived. And one of the first things he did in me was he gave me a very, very sensitive ear gate, eye gates, and, mm-hmm. and all the gates, all my senses. And so he would literally direct me where he wanted me to go. And early on, he sent me to do a lot of learning from the archives of Derek Prince, mm-hmm. and who is a blessed man of God who's passed on. I found Augusto Perez, who surely in spiritual warfare is my general. And, mm-hmm. you know, onto Brother Marcus, who, you know, and that's who I found you through. But if there was some place that he did not want me to go or something he did not want me to hear, that ear gate would just shut down, or the eye gate, or, mm-hmm. you know. I found mm-hmm. a lot of friends through the Hagmans, and from there I mm-hmm. found other fellowships. I found Mike, who's on the line, and his beautiful wife, amongst others. And there's a lot of them in your room now. So, but there it became very, very clear to me very early on. Like the Holy Spirit would just speaking to my spirit, you know, go get that one, you know, and I would. And that happened with you, by the way. And it became really obvious that he was making a very special gathering, and that this anointed gathering was for his service, and it's and for our fellowship, and we get so much from it. We get so much from fellowshipping right. with each other. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Right.
So that's how that happens. With me, it's a little strange. I sometimes have my ear gate just go and it shuts off. You know, I'm like, oh, I got to get away from that, and I'll, you know. But it's not always
so
that.
Strange.
Most recently, the Lord just kind of dropped this like a gift on me, and he allowed me to see the hearts of certain people, not everyone. Mm-hmm. But he'll show me from his perspective of love, and it's so overwhelming. I have been able to see what he sees. And so now I really mm-hmm. believe that he gives us this, you know, the ability to see one another's hearts and find each other. And I sometimes represent in my, you know, seeing in the spirit, I will see the shining, beautiful heart in somebody. So it's very special.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you had a great, great, great experience and vision that you will share with us a little bit later.
Yeah.
Some people say that we are doing here is to that I am a little bit angry against church. That's not the case, because I have a lot of friends, pastors. I have a lot of friends that are on congregations that understand this work that God gave us to do, because they know, as I was on some church before, they know what happens on the back doors on church, you see? And a kind of, when the people are useful, okay, it's all okay. When they are not more useful, just throw it on the garbage, see?
Right.
And Jesus has, God has a scripture on the Bible that says, he will search for his own children, and they will hear their voice, his voice. And truly, I have, from the start of this show, asking God if this was going to work, because I thought it was only with me that something like this happen on the past. I have seen the bad side of the congregation. But I know that there are good men and good projects there. Like you said, August Perez, like you said, Brother Marcus, I am honored to be a friend of Brother Marcus. I am honored to be on his show. And they all are gathering, on. They are trying to get a congregation to work. But I am not fighting against congregations. I am fighting against some practice, some doctrine that are being put like rules on congregations that are killing. And I have to tell you this, because this is another gift that God gave me. I am visited on dreams by the Lord. And God showed me that the doves are dying. The doves are dying in the most of the congregations. And you know that the symbol of dove is the Holy Spirit. They are crushing the doves there. They are putting another things first. They are serving another gods, unfortunately. Fortunately for us, there are a lot of pastors, truly pastors, rich men in the kingdom of God, that they have money, but they have more love for the sheep than love for the money. Like people that are prosperous, and they are taking care, good care of people. But you know, Michael know, I know, there are so much people that has been hurt on that system. Not only on the Catholic, but in the Protestant church. And this is the last call to repent. God is starting judging his people. Then we'll come to judge the world. But what we are going to watch in the next times, next month, people are starting to operate in fear because they are seeing priests dying, pastors dying. But you know what God told me, that Diana? God said, it's my judgment. Only those that are truly faithful to me, only those that build their homes on the rock and not on the sand, will overcome. So do not be afraid. And I insist this in many shows that I heard. As I hear a lot of good people with good intentions warning the chief of the bad times that are coming. But it's important to let them know that are people, they are preparing the ark. And this is the
my instructions have changed. I don't know how long ago it was, but it keeps getting reinforced. And, you know, from any warning to all eyes on the Lord. All eyes on the Lord.
Right.
If they say look right,
right,
don't. If they say look left, don't. All eyes on the Lord. And that's something Mike said, by the way. Don't look left and don't look right. But he's pretty much on the same page on that, I think. And
I was telling her
right
about the hands on the plow. Once you put
yeah
the hands on the plow, you have to look straight forward at all times. Because that's
right
how the enemy will try to attack you. They'll try to pull you to the left or the right or look down, and you can't do that.
So true. That's it. That's the tactic of the enemy. Michael, can you fix to? I am hearing you, but a little bit far away.
Okay. How's that?
Now it's better.
Okay.
Okay, brother, I'm going to you now. I'm going to talk with you a little bit. But first,
okay,
let me just update this, okay?
Okay.
Meus irmãos, a nossa irmã Diana, ela esteve a contar que Deus a foi conduzindo. Ela também foi pedindo sempre a Deus para não a deixar ser enganada. Foi conduzindo ao longo de congregações, ao longo da caminhada. E ela foi pedindo a Deus para que Deus sempre lhe desse discernimento sobre o que é dele e o que é que é que não é dele, aquilo que tem que reter e aquilo que não tem que reter. E, por incrível que pareça, a irmã foi conduzida a muita gente, né? Até mesmo pessoas que têm congregações e que são honestas, que estão fazendo um ótimo trabalho, têm uma congregação, mas servem o reino, não servem a placa. Pessoas que estão hoje na linha da frente, pessoas como Augusto Pérez, pessoas como o irmão Marcos, aquele trabalho maravilhoso na reserva de Pine Ridge. E Irma foi sendo conduzida cada vez mais a estas comunidades que se espalham pela internet, onde o amor de Deus está fluindo livremente, sem qualquer tipo de constrangimento, sem qualquer tipo de interferência na relação pessoal que cada um tem que ter com Deus. E o que a irmã esteve a falar foi isso, é que ela hoje é rica no reino, porque ela foi sendo conduzida por Deus e foi lhe dando discernimento para ver aquilo que ela devia reter e daquilo que ela devia se afastar. E este percurso é o que todos nós temos que pedir a Deus, para que Deus sempre nos defenda daquilo que não interessa reter. As falsas doutrinas, os abusos da autoridade, tudo aquilo que se interfere entre a sua relação pessoal com Cristo, aquilo que quer controlar a sua vida. Até mesmo Deus nunca controla a sua vida. Deus te guia, mas não te controla. Deixa o teu critério aceitares ou não. Então, veja bem como esta irmã foi sendo conduzida e hoje encontrou, como ela falou, tanta gente disposta a oferecer tanto. Em comunidades online, internet, onde ela, através da oração, através de verdadeira comunhão, ajuda naquilo que são as coisas mais básicas, ela foi encontrando e vai ajudando outros. E isto é o Evangelho puro. Onde estão dois ou três em meu nome, eu estarei. Agora nós vamos falar com o irmão Michael, ele vai também falar um pouco dele e contar a sua experiência. E eu voltarei para atualizar. Hey Michael, it's updated. My brother, I want to know how you found our great Lord. How is your story? Please tell us.
Okay, I'll tell you. I do want to say one thing, what you were talking about, the church. The rejected stone became the chief cornerstone of the church. And the true church is the body of Jesus Christ.
Right. It's true.
Well, my story,
it's true.
I was saved as a teenager. I was 14 at the time. I was part of a Methodist youth group that was on retreat. And it was a salvation retreat. And I was saved at that time. And I went through my life's walk after that point talking to God. I didn't pray a lot. I talked to God, but it was most generally just when things weren't going quite right. I always felt like something was helping me when near-miss situations, when things could have gone really bad and they didn't. I always knew that there truly was a God, and I did believe, but I didn't worship and I didn't pray like I should have. And I think a lot of people are probably feeling that and will be feeling that in the days to come when things, since we are entering into the end times, in my view, we'll start to question, you know, did I do this or should I do that or what do I do now? And they certainly shouldn't be ashamed. Because when you come fully to Christ, you are forgiven for everything that you've done before that, and it's just cast into the sea of forgetfulness.
Right.
So about 5 years ago, since the topic of the show is the Internet and how we're worshiping and fellowshipping on the Internet, about 5 years ago, I was on the Internet in forums, and forums are a little different than chat rooms like we met at Brother Marcus's chat room. Chat rooms are new to me. And a lot of the forums that were online were news-related or world events or UFO things like that, you know, which are, you know, I now know are things that aren't very important for our focus, especially at this time. But they were secular in nature. And I noticed that we started having people that were, I'm not going to say spiritually gifted because I didn't consider myself to be spiritually gifted, but I could feel people. I just knew I could feel people. And you're drawn to certain people, and it's not even by their words. You're just drawn to them because you can feel them. And you're going through the secular part of that and being online quite a bit through the day. I was self-employed and everything. We started to have some kindred heart people is what we called them at the time, but they were actually, we were spiritual people that were kind of drawn together. And we would we would be on the forums and trying to spread some good word and some spiritual uplifting stuff and not doing Bible studies or anything, but it was quite harrowing. It was quite an experience. It certainly wasn't any fellowship when you've got 4,000 or 5,000 people and you've got 10 people that are trying to fellowship online. But that was the early days of what was going on. And but we persevered, and just like we were talking yesterday, and what a beautiful talk we had. You met your wife online. Well, I met mine online too. And we were very spiritually connected. The thing about meeting somebody online when you do that, and I'm not going to go into a long dissertation about this, but it's basically, it's heart to heart, and you're speaking,
right.
You're typing, just like we do in a chat room, and you don't know what the person looks like. All you know is what you feel and basically what they're saying. And you can really, really, really get close with someone and really know them without any other things going on as far as, what do they look
That's
like
true.
And how do they act and that type thing. So anyways, it's kind of interesting. I'll stop there real quickly. She was praying to the Lord, praying to our Holy Father, and asking some questions and this and that one day, and she asked him 5 questions. And I was sitting in the house, clear on the other side of the country, 2,500 miles away, and all of a sudden something came over me, and I started typing. And they were words that were not mine. It wasn't thoughts I was having. And it was one of my first Holy Spirit moments that I didn't understand. I just started typing. Anyways, I sent the message to her, and it answered all 5 of the questions that she asked her father.
Wow.
So right then and there, we knew that we were connected, and the connection grew. And I basically just jumped on a bus and came out here to the Pacific Northwest. Little mini hand on a plow thing. It was total faith in the Father. At that time, I was talking most of the day, every day. A lot of things started to be awoken in me, turned on. Almost like a light switch. I felt his constant presence and Jesus' constant presence. And I at that point, I wasn't even praying. I didn't know how. I was just having a conversation all day long. And it was amazing. And so he made provision for me to be able to come out here. And I had some money come to me that I didn't expect, which would, once I got out here, I'd be able to maintain myself for a while until we had made some plans and went ahead and got together, got married. And it's kind of amazing. On the way here, I was on a bus, and Scripture tells us that you can entertain angels unaware. And I struck up a conversation with a fellow that he was a beautiful man. He was of modest means. And we started talking and actually started fellowshipping back and forth in a spiritual sense and sharing about her father and about Jesus, and I was even sharing things that were coming out of me that I didn't even know, and it was quite amazing. And when he got off the bus, he had all his kids around there. They were all waiting for him in a shopping center where we pulled in there, and they were all gathered around, and right then there was a big hole came through the clouds. It was really overcast, and the sun in an arrow beam came down out of those clouds and shined on that man and those kids. And he looked up and he looked at me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I mean, I could just feel it when he got off the bus after we were done talking. But anyways, I wanted to share that one because that was one of the amazing things that as you go through your day-to-day life, if you look around at what's going on around you, our Father leaves fingerprints everywhere.
Right.
So anyways, when I got here, we have a 100-acre ranch, and we grow a lot of crops and have a few horses and whatnot. Run a little business out of the house. Father provides just enough. We pay our bills, and we're happy. Got back online again, and we were searching for fellowship. We wanted to find some fellowship. We wanted people that knew how to worship, and could understand what we were feeling, and as things in the last year have been turning the way they have. We had a drive that we didn't even know what it was. But we wanted to find some fellowship. And mm-hmm. so my story, or Karen and I's story, is pretty much the same. Steve Quayle, and Brother Marcus, mm-hmm. and Hagman's, and
yeah.
almost all the same places that I hear people mention when we run across each other on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's no accident. It seems like the same conduit.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing because right now I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and so is Deanna. She's actually in the same state, and we are probably,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess, 10,000 miles away from you, and probably mm-hmm. somebody 5,000 miles away from you is listening to us tonight. And
right.
it's a connection all over the world, but it's a connection you can feel through the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and it will be stronger each day it passes, because that's the purpose of God. And this is building a kind of net that doesn't have any breach for the snakes to come in, you see. So I promise that I will tell you my story, my own story, another day, how I went to Brazil to bring my wife. Because at least you are from the same country. I had to cross the ocean to get her. But this will be another story on another day. I'm going to update this, and then we will jump again to Diana, because she has a vision to tell us, to share with us. I will give her around 35 minutes, if she can, to tell us her vision. I hope that's enough, Diana.
If I can tame myself down to 35 minutes, that's funny. Well,
More some minutes to give us some ideas, and let me just update the story of Michael, and
yes.
I will give you around 35-40 minutes to.
I won't need that much. I really won't. Not unless we want to get into your vision too. Let's just let the Holy Spirit go, okay? Let the Holy Spirit lead.
Vision.
Yeah.
The one that
gave me the confirmation word to release this vision. We talked about it last night. You'll see.
Okay, but this show is for you too, guys. For you too. So to make us know how happy is it to have a brotherhood like we have now, fighting each day one more soul that is hurt, that was broken, and now God is changing our lives all with the help of each other. This is the purpose.
That's why we're here.
This is the most important.
That's how I look at it. My life is not my life. It's His life. It's His.
Right. That's what we are learning with all of this. So please just give me 1 minute, and then I will take again to the show to the end, okay?
Amen.
Amado, o irmão Michael teve-nos a contar que também é uma história muito interessante do ponto de vista do percurso, porque no fundo a gente vai acabar por entender que todos nós passamos um pouco pelo mesmo, né? Depois é Deus trabalhando as vidas, mas fazendo chegar todos ao mesmo entendimento, ao mesmo destino. Também se converteu cedo, aos 14 anos, né? Depois foi vacilando todos os jovens a entrar num entendimento completo com Deus. E ele destacou o seu casamento, a altura em que ele casou, vivia do outro lado dos Estados Unidos. As pessoas a conheceram-se também precisamente na internet. E ele esteve a falar como às vezes há certas coisas que nos contam que não são realmente verdade. Né? A internet tem muito perigoso. Mas com Deus no controle, a internet transformou-se num verdadeiro instrumento de bênção para o casal, porque ao mesmo tempo que estavam limitados pela distância, pelas circunstâncias de estarem em estados diferente da América, também lhes permitiu fazer uma espécie de seleção e começarem a concentrar-se no outro, não é? Era como se fosse o Espírito Santo guiando os corações para se concentrarem, para se pensarem um no outro, tanta distração à volta. E isso acabou por dar muita confiança ao casal. Sei que ele contou, sei que isto é verdade, porque eu tenho uma história em tudo idêntica com a minha esposa atual. Para que Deus realmente me preparasse para a minha vida, não aquela que eu imaginei que seriam, mas eu sei o que eu sinto, eu sei que isto é totalmente verídico e que a pessoa com o Espírito Santo, pedindo discernimento ao Espírito Santo, tal como a Diana fazia, ele vai nos conduzir a pastos verdejantes. Este homem casou, mudou de um estado da América para o outro, vive-se casado com esta irmã, né? Casou, tem uma vida. E depois de casados, é a mesma situação. Ele começou à procura de verdadeira comunhão. É claro que percorreu uma série de negócios religiosos, onde se paga para ter fé, onde se paga para receber a bênção mensalmente. E tudo isso foi como que fazendo com que ele cada vez mais se sentisse que não era ali o lugar dele. E o Espírito Santo é tão bom que o foi conduzindo às pessoas que estavam procurando agregar o rebanho. Pessoas que realmente não fazem do Evangelho um negócio, não fazem da casa de Deus uma casa de escravidão materialista. E foi conduzida cristãos que até, no meu entendimento, estão servindo a Deus com uma congregação e tudo, mas nunca entraram pelo caminho que o inimigo quer, né? Pela soberba, pelo materialismo. Irmãos como Augusto Pérez, irmãos como Steve Coelho, irmãos como o irmão Marcos, e só da Cota do Sul, com aquela reserva, e através de programas de internet, ele foi escolhendo aqueles que realmente o Espírito Santo estava alimentando a sua sede pela palavra de Deus, pelas coisas de Deus, pelas coisas espirituais. E hoje ele é feliz. Hoje, todos os dias, ele tem comunhão com verdadeiros adoradores. Todos os dias ele encontra verdadeira sinceridade e amizade em Cristo. Aquelas barreiras que tantas vezes encontramos no formalismo religioso não existe nesse tipo de comunhão. É mais um testemunho importantíssimo para todos nós entendermos que Deus opera como quer e lhe apetece. Não tem limites. E se alguém começar a sair dos planos de Deus, Deus troca. Deus substitui a pessoa na sua vida por outra que vai cumprir o desejo de Deus. Um desejo de um pai de te abençoar. Então, abra o seu coração para isto, porque isto é a mais pura verdade. Não sou só eu, nem estes irmãos que estamos vivendo esta realidade. Deus está trazendo juízo sobre as casas de Saul. Mas a casa de Davi vai se fortalecendo de dia para dia. E os instrumentos que Deus está trazendo, eles não sabiam, mas Deus tinha-os reservado para estes dias, como por exemplo a internet. Nós agora vamos passar a palavra para a irmã Diana. Ela tem uma visão para nos contar. Eu acredito que é de tal maneira impactante que ela fez questão de trazer hoje para nós. E pelo que eu conheço da minha irmã, da nossa irmã, é bom que a gente vá aguardar o que ela vai falar. Amém? Amém. Sister, you are on your own now. Please.
Okay.
Show us.
Just remember that I'm going to interrupt you when the information starts being too much for me to record. Okay.
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 Okay. I have a scripture here in 2 Corinthians that the Lord led me to. In regards to this, it's 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Verse 10 and actually 11. And it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So, I don't know how many months ago it was that I got this vision, but I have been waiting and waiting, and even, you know, poking and, you know, looking through doors to see if maybe I should release this on somebody's show or if I should, what I should do. But I have gathered some testimonies and just witnessing and stuff because the Lord spoke into my heart just to witness. Mm-hmm. Very, very early on in my walk, I asked if he would like for me to use my music to, you know, and a ministry of sorts, and he said no. He said no. He said witness, and just one word. Mm-hmm. So, I have collected a few things, and I've been seeking him and waiting for something. I spoke to Brother Marcus recently, and I guess you could say I released this vision to him. I spoke to him about it, and another thing the Lord had told me and spoke this unto me was to that I was to seek a true man of God, a true anointed man of God, to anoint me.
True.
And once I spoke to Brother Marcus, something happened and unlocked in me, and he prophesied over me. But to give you this vision, I have to explain how some things come to me, almost like an open vision. I have multiple things. I'll have an open vision. I'm awake. I'll have dreams. Sometimes I will see a representation of something. I could describe it to you as a picture, but it has layers. It's very rich, and what the Lord communicates. It's the layers. You could say it was like pages of pictures, and in those pictures, was rich with information, and sometimes they will reveal over time with me.
Mm-hmm.
But they're quite amazing, and frankly, at first, when I started getting these, I didn't really know what to do with all this. You know, I really didn't. But anyway, so the Lord used an experience that I had to do this, and I'm just going to recount it as quickly as I can.
Okay.
Do you need to stop? Do you need to stop now and say any of that, or do you want me to go ahead?
I'm going to update the till now, and then we will enter in the vision. Okay.
Okay.
Ele me está dizendo que ela é frequentemente usada assim em dons, não é? Eu também sou, graças a Deus, também a minha esposa, ao contrário do que muitos abutres andavam para aí a vomitar em cima do corpo de Cristo. Quando a gente sai de uma congregação, se tivermos motivos concretos e objetivos para que isso aconteça, estivermos dentro da vontade de Deus, o Espírito Santo não nos deixa sós, não. Até mesmo aqueles que saem justamente, às vezes o Senhor vai atrás deles, quanto mais aqueles que saem com justificação. Então, para desgosto de muitos mercenários que querem viver à conta do dinheiro dos outros, o corpo de Cristo tem sempre o Espírito Santo e ele se manifesta a cada um, porque ele é Pai. Então, a irmã sempre foi visitada pelo Espírito Santo, mesmo na sua caminhada, não é? Mesmo caminhando com Deus e, por vezes, encontrando pessoas erradas no caminho. E, por isso, ela está, até hoje, curada das doenças dela, liberta de tudo aquilo que a aprisionava e caminhando alegremente, tendo dons. E o que ela está dizendo é que hoje ela vai partilhar connosco uma visão para que nós entendamos o propósito de Deus para as nossas vidas. Amen, sister. Lead on.
Okay. So, in the late 90s, I don't really remember what year this was, but I lived in North Texas, just north of Dallas, right on a lake, My property was maybe 150 yards at the most from the bank. But we experienced such a drought in 1 year and continued all through the winter and into the next year, and the temperatures were searing very early, like in March, and no rain. And it was so severe that I had to get binoculars to see the water from my home, which used to be right there. And I noticed a pair of birds that were frantically circling my pool. They were trying to get access to the water, but they couldn't because of the coping around the edge of the pool. They couldn't figure out how to get to it. And so immediately I went out and bought a bird bath to keep water in it. And next, I mean, just very soon after that, a very tame, unusually tame, and insistent grackle, that's the type of bird they call it, came to my back door and tapped on the back door and waited. It was so strange. It was not normal. And having done some animal rehabilitate, you know, had volunteered with certain animal rehabilitation projects, knowing that this bird that is considered a pest in Texas, that it probably had not been rehabbed or anything. I didn't know why this bird was so so tame and so familiar, and I was able to open the door. It was not afraid. I was able to feed it some bread. And immediately we went and bought a bird feeder. And so the next thing that happened was many birds started coming. And many more birds started coming. And that bird feeder became inadequate. And so I got a really large bird feeder, and I had, and this is kind of funny, we actually put it on a shepherd's hook. We put it on a shepherd's hook. Americans all know what that is, but it's like, this is about 6 feet tall, it's made of wrought iron, and it's bent at the top with a little hook, and some people put plants on it or a candle or for their backyard or whatever, but we hung this huge feeder on it. And immediately more birds came, and even more birds came, and this was starting to look like something out of a movie, the birds. They lined up my fences. They stayed in the trees. They stayed in the bushes. They were on the rooftops of all the houses around me, thousands and thousands. And, I mean, it was incredible. And there's just huge numbers of birds. And go ahead.
You were feeding or giving water?
Both. Both. And it was a labor started even before the sun came up sometimes. And you had to put water in it. I was giving them, filling up this huge feeder 3 times a day and giving water all day. And so it became something of a problem. And for one thing, they were very loud. You could even hear them, you know, from very far away. And it was really something in my house. But I thought, well, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. So I happen to know a very well-known ornithologist in Canada. His name is Barry. And I called him. And I said, is this okay? Am I doing the right thing? I don't want to upset the balance of, you know, nature, you know, or cyclical or whatever. And he said, absolutely not. Those birds, this is so severe, this drought, and those birds will not survive without what you're doing. And so keep doing it until the rains come back. And then subsequently their food will come back. And so I did. But that continued. That was, it actually took an effort of my family, you know, to manage this, because it was every day, all day. And keeping the water It was really something else. But the Lord showed me this when He brought it when He brought it to my when it became a vision. He brought it to my remembrance. He also brought something that I had forgotten. But one of the things that we noticed at the time was that the bird species who would normally they would normally be enemies, they all sat calmly amongst each other. They'd sit next to each other sometimes. The species would go ahead and congregate together, but they didn't fight. Birds that I know, like mockingbirds and blue jays, who are normally really aggressive, they would sit there and they'd take turns. And you would notice that they were taking turns. They were feeding a certain time of day, and then they would let these others come in, and then they would, you know, that same species would come back more towards the evening and feed again. And it became an annoyance in my neighborhood, and we had to keep the fences watched down. But it was interesting. Nobody complained to me, and that. I was the Homeowners Association president, and so I got all kinds of silly complaints at times, and I got no complaints about this. And I know that people were kind of upset and whispering, but they didn't bring me their complaints. But anyway, in the vision that I got, it became very clear to me that this was a vision of the future after a drought of the word, that we will need to minister this flowing water and feed the word to masses and masses. And there won't, and all those contentious points, you know, beating each other over the head with scriptures and doctrines and theology, it will not matter. It will not matter at all. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I had totally forgotten about was brought to my memory, and that is that, as it turned out, during that summer, I found a cat, a predator, laying up under one of the bushes, and it had a broken leg, and it was feeding on birds, and I found the grackle had gone missing. The little guy that had started it all. He had come to the back door. He had gone missing. We didn't know why he wasn't there, but I found the blue-black iridescent feathers of the grackle underneath there. And from that moment, and I trapped that cat and got him some help, but from then on, I was always watchful, and I found two other cats that I had to trap that were strays, and get them out of there. So when the Lord brought that to my remembrance, He also showed me this will be the way of the predators that feed on the flock, but the Lord will bring them down and expose them and do away with them. So this is very uplifting to me. This is just, I love this vision.
No doubt, it is. And, no doubt.
And it's edifying to me. It's edifying to me. So it's really put on my heart to share it. And there you go. What do you think?
I think that's a prophetic act on your life that God provides you to live, to prepare yourself, your spirit, let you feel what is on the heart of our Father, who is cheap. So more than a vision, I think that was your training ground. But what do you think, Michael?
I think the same thing. I'm definitely getting a famine of the word. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to take a lot of effort, and it's going to be all out of love. Love
right.
For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're going to do His good works.
Right.
and we're being called right to do that.
That's what I call predestination. You were prepared for with your life, with your regular life, to provide, to train what you are going to do on these days where the despair will come, where the loneliness will come to the hearts of men and women, those that have built upon the wrong foundation, and it will be us that God is preparing, is counting to show the way to them, to show the way. Not we are not the way, but we have found the way, and we will.
We're gonna put our candle on the candlestick.
Right.
I wanna throw something out there and run it by you or your listeners. Something that was shown to me in the vision about the grapple, you know, the bird that started it all. I wonder if that could be a representation of Jesus. The notes I wrote on the bird was that it was strikingly, unusually peaceful, tame and friendly behavior, and that it brought the saving of many to fruition. But it did lose its life. It did lose its life.
Yeah. It started, he showed salvation for the others, and he died.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Please, let me update this, because I am full of joy to tell this story to the others. Didn't understand yet, okay?
Okay.
Nossa irmã teve a contar que na sua caminhada ela teve um acontecimento na vida dela que virou, tomou-se no ensino e numa experiência individual com Deus profunda, que ela guarda até hoje e que trouxe hoje para partilhar aqui. Depois acabou por aquilo que ela considera ser uma visão para o futuro dela. Ela vivia num sítio onde tinha uma quinta, com vários hectares de terra e passavam riachos de água. Mas houve um ano que aconteceu uma seca tremenda naquela região. E os riachos começaram a desaparecer, não é? E começou a haver uma grande seca, não é? Praticamente eles viviam da água canalizada que vinha de outro. Não, já não do próprio terreno. Tinha que vir de outro lugar. Era uma maneira de fazer de outro lugar que ainda tinha um pouco de água para ter água toda. E aconteceu num dia dessa seca, aconteceu que houve um pássaro que começou a pousar ali. Aliás, os pássaros que havia começaram todos a desaparecer porque não havia água. Houve um que persistentemente pousava na parte de trás da casa, no espaço da casa da irmã, e ficava ali, piano. E a irmã começou a ter uma espécie de caridade, né? Doce, seu bichinho, ou para ali uma coisinha com água, com comida, e o pássaro começou a aparecer ali todos os dias. Quando não estava lá aquilo, já estava lá, à mesma hora, sempre. E a irmã sempre a alimentar. E a cuidar daquele passarinho. Segundo eu entendi, era um pardal. E com o passar do tempo, ela ganhou afinidade com o bicho, né? Tinha de tal maneira afinidade com ele que ele deixava pegar e tudo. Mas com o passar do tempo, outros pássaros viram que havia ali uma forma de sustento, né? No meio daquela seca toda. E começaram a imitar o passarinho, o original. E às tantas já não era só um, era meia dúzia, depois passou a ser 10. E aí, portanto, não era tudo da mesma espécie. Havia pássaros de todo tipo. Corvos, pardais, pombos. Mas eles iam ficando ali à espera da sua parte. E a irmã, cheia de caridade dos vizinhos, ia dando ali para todos os dias, iam dando um bocadinho de água, de comida.
eu vivo sendo alimentado. Para ele tornou-se um verdadeiro problema. Eu ter centenas de pássaros ali. Eu mesmo ter quase que nenhuma aparência de milhares de pássaros, porque sabiam que havia ali um sustento. E ela até chegou a falar com uma organização da natureza para ver se podia ou não continuar a alimentar, porque não queria estar a entrar em... a mexer com a ordem da natureza. Eu disse, não, pelo menos enquanto estiver esta seca terrível, eles se calhar não vão sobreviver se você não cuidar deles. E a irmã, olha, lá foi dando continuidade àquilo. Às tantas tinha centenas e chegou a ter milhares de pássaros ali. A vizinhança foi até mesmo a filar e tudo, mas como ela tinha muito espaço, quando aquilo era dela, era da sua família, a família também se mobilizou com pena dos bichinhos e lá foram cuidando dos bichinhos. Mas, entretanto, aquele primeiro passarinho, a partir de uma determinada altura, desapareceu, nunca mais apareceu ali. Estão lá os outros todos, mas aquilo não está. E ela foi dar, foi resolver este enigma no meio das plantas lá, daquele quintal, porque resto ela viu as penas daquele passarinho, a cor que ela conheceu. E no meio daquele, escondido assim, daquelas plantas, todas as plantações do quintal que ela conheceu, pássaros que viam, estava um gato ferido, morto, passarinho. O gato ferido, uma perna partida, estava ali e estava a alimentar os pássaros que tinha acabado, tinha a primeira vítima que ele tinha feito, precisamente o passarinho, provavelmente já tinha dado mais alguns. Estava a sobreviver com aquilo. E não é depois, acabou por ter dó também do gato. Eu trouxe para casa, o levou a treinar e indicou-lhe o seu caminho. Mas apercebeu-se que não era só um gato, já havia mais. Eu já estava a tornar ali para ir para os gatos. Resumindo e concluindo, depois desta história toda, a irmã foi visitada pelo Espírito Santo, né? E ele mostrou. Venceu e agora está a acontecer aquilo que Deus falou com ela nesse tempo. Vai ser usada. Então, puseste a cuidar do pai. Vai ser usada para cuidar do meu povo. Quando a seca vier, a palavra de Deus for rara, vai ser tu e os teus irmãos que te puseram, prepararam, cuidar do meu irmão. Tu que vais trazer a água. E comida, que tu vais cuidar. E é interessante que aqueles pássaros, muitas vezes, se fossem normal, andavam a se perseguir uns aos outros. Eles ali estavam juntos, todos, todo medo. Aceitavam o tempo dos outros. Não havia guerra. Deus falou com ela que vais ser pacificadora. Há muitos daqueles que estão aí, que se irão aniquilar uns aos outros, cair uns aos outros. Por causa de coisas inúteis, por causa de serem melhores que os outros. E ela disse que foi uma coisa tão profunda que guardou no coração até hoje, escreveu, e que agora está se cumprindo, está vendo se cumprir diante dos olhos dela. Está, através de coisas solares que acontecem, episódios na nossa vida, ela já estava nos preparando. Aquilo que é o serviço do reino. Esta história é tão profunda que tenho a certeza que qualquer um de nós que está ouvindo isto já está relacionando algum acontecimento na sua vida no passado com o presente e já está imaginando como aquilo é útil para os dias que estão vindo. É assim que o nosso Deus funciona. Ele também tirou José da sua família, sabendo que veria os tempos em que José iria fazer a provisão para a sua própria família. Deus não mostra tudo logo. Deus não mostra. Deus não é aquele... A nossa relação com o Pai não é a mesma coisa que nós estamos habituados com os nossos protetores terrestres que querem sempre minimizar as nossas dores. Não, Deus é tão sábio que sabe que quanto mais sofrermos, depois mais vamos dar valor ao que Deus tem para nós. E o ser humano tem isso, não é? Então, os irmãos possam reter esta experiência, porque ela fala muito Nós somos esses pássaros que Deus procurou alimentar, quer nos usar para trazer outros para a verdadeira comunhão do Evangelho. Não é esses falsos evangelhos pagos a peso de ouro, não é esses falsos evangelhos de Bíblia distorcida e de interpretações materialísticas, não é esse evangelho. É aquele evangelho de que eu largo, eu deixo por amor a Cristo e outros vão ser abençoados com a minha decisão. Eu abdico do meu bem-estar, eu abdico do meu egoísmo, eu abdico até dos meus privilégios, se for preciso, para que outros tenham o sustento deles. Isto é o Evangelho, esta visão é o Evangelho na prática. É o Evangelho para com os animais, mas todos nós somos convidados por Deus a praticá-lo uns com os outros. Amen, sister, this is wonderful. I felt the flow of the Spirit. Preaching, almost preaching to the Portuguese language people. It's so amazing. I am full of joy that I heard this testimony. This is another confirmation to all of us that God has a plan to all of us on the team. And the easiest part is our. We just only had to rest and let Him show us day by day the plan that He has to all of us, the part that it's our to do, because we only do the possible thing. If we let the impossible things to our Lord, we will reach the plans and the goals that God has to us, right?
Amen.
Yeah. And through obedience, you know, obedience, we get favor.
And
right.
He does the rest.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
100%
Michael,
effort.
Michael, do you have something to energize, to envision this experience of our sister?
Well, not really. I'm kind of new to the table. I was only fully 100% brought to Christ about 2 months ago, and by a dear friend of mine, and I've come to understand through reading the Gospels. I've read all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that when I was studying, that as the Holy Spirit would come, I would start to understand with clarity what it was that that I was studying. We have to study to show ourselves approved, and I had a hunger for the Word, and I kept finding... I read the book of Mark, and it felt so familiar to me. That was the third book that I read, and I couldn't figure out why, but it did. It just felt like home. Same way with Ephesians and Philippians, two of my other favorites.
Right.
I also know at the same time, as we study to show ourselves approved, that we're responsible for what we know and what we learn, and you walk it out. You walk the walk, but more than that, you have to become it. It's not really a second nature thing like playing golf, where you have swing memory and that type thing. You have to become it. You have to take those words and eat them, and walk it out, and then become it.
You have
and
to. And
it's been an amazing journey for me, and I know it's really only the beginning, but it's exactly what He formed and fashioned for me before the foundations of the world. And that's something that I had on my heart that was brought to me this morning. It came upon me, Solomon's story, that he was the wisest man in the world, the wisest man that was and the wisest man that would ever be. And, you know, he made the statement that nothing's new under the sun. What has been before will be again. And as we do our studies, we find out that the end times will be as they were in Noah's times. But we also find out through further studies that this time now will be like no time before and no time ever again. And I got to thinking about the fact that right now, to be chosen, to be alive in this time, to do our Father's work, and our Lord and Savior's work. How many billions of people have lived over the millennia? For the last 2,000 years, how many billions of people have lived, and we were chosen to be here now? And that's good enough for
right.
me.
Right. And for me, too. And for me, too, because each day it passes, and even today, when I was praying for my normal day of prayer for the brotherhood, for brothers and sisters and the program, I felt, this is important to our King, because he doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. The only thing he wants to see in us is that we love him, that we have pleasure to be useful to him. And this is wonderful when the Almighty God, he trusts in us to do so few things. He will not do what we can do. You better believe this, brother. You better believe this, my sister. God will not do the thing that you can do, that he will ask you to do. Because the only way that we can honor a God, Almighty God, is to give him the pleasure to feel that someone so small like us has pleasure to obey him, to feel the same way he feels the situation. I am a guy that I cannot see violence against any kind of animal. See? I am someone that suffers when I see the suffering of the animal species that could be avoided, or materialist things like what happens in Canada with the seals. I cannot see images like this. This is one personal fight that I feel in myself, that I have to pray all time, all days, to God give some dignity the way we treat the animals. See, but this is personal. I don't mean that all the people of God must feel the same way I do. This is something personal. This is something that God gave me to fight for, you see. And I try to be obedient to this challenge of the Holy Spirit inside myself. Of course, I need to pray for human people and salvation. This is the focus. But there are so much things beside this that we can make a difference. If we ask God to give some more dignity on this world, to stop the enemy plans, to stop the Illuminati scheme, to change, to uncover the bad works, like something that I saw today on the internet, something that I consider like an answer to our prayers. And I see the world bringing to trial all those serpent seeds that are faking they are religious guys, like the pedophilian rings that are on churches. When I saw today that on the 7th April, even the Pope and the Queen must go to trial, you see, this is the answer that I need from the Almighty God. I couldn't do this. You couldn't do, Michael. Not even we three together, all the people that are on the chat room, we could not fight against these powerful beings, this serpent seed, the sons of devil that do sacrifice of animals and children to appease demons, that rape young children and sacrifice human beings. But God can. We just need to be his warriors, prayer warriors, and say, God, I can't do, but I know you do. And when he sees there is somebody down there on the earth that are asking for justice, this is only what God needs. Our faithfulness in the small things.
In the small things, right.
All we just need is not to sell, give up our soul to this guy, this power. Because the greatest power of all the universe is inside us. We can surrender ourselves, but it's not the will of God. God wants us to hear your voice, my voice. Say, God, I am not pleased with this situation. Please change it in Jesus. And, my God, we can make the difference. You see, the power, it's not, we are not the power, but we have it. Because God gave it. And this is
that's why
power.
We're here.
Right. This is our power. We can change the state of the gospel. We can change the world. We, like David, he had to flee from the palace of the other king. He started alone on a cave. But the word says that the house of David became stronger and stronger, and the unfaithful house of the other king became weak, until David took the kingdom like God determined. So the kingdom is ours. God has already gave us the kingdom. You see, that's why we are, I call princess of Vienna. You are a princess of, and you are a prince of God. We have already the kingdom. Now we just need to fight and wait that God will make the impossible to take a bad servant to give the kingdom. And the
kingdom is where our heart is, and that's where we're going to lay up our riches.
Right. So we just don't need, the only thing we just need is not to give up. Never surrender. Resist them. Resist the devil, and you will flee. Do you agree?
Amen.
Do you agree, right?
Amen.
Amen.
So, this is, I hope, to be the first.
Don't even give him an audience.
Right. This is the first of, I hope, the Tuesday show that I will try to bring our brothers to give voice to our brothers and sisters of our community, to tell the others, to show the others that we don't need any other master than Jesus Christ. We don't need to be full of doctrine. We don't need to please. We don't even need to agree in everything in the way that we see the scripture. If we can love one another just by the simple reason that he was washed by the blood of the Lamb, we will be great in the kingdom. We will be great. God will reward us. I don't need to see everything as Michael sees, has Vienna see, but I need to understand that she and he has the right to see on that way. Okay? But that doesn't mean that I have to agree, that I have to change. Only God will change us. But we can love each other. We can take care of each other. Even if we don't agree in everything, even if we don't like the same color. But if we love Jesus Christ more than our life, this is the only and enough reason to love each other, to take care of each other. Because we are not doing this for us. We are doing for our King. Because he is the one who went to the cross to all of us. Diana, do you want to say some last words, please, in 30 seconds? Time is running.
Yeah. I just want to say that we all must live in the shadow of the Most High, and we must abide there.
Right.
And that's how we're going to look up, and the Lord has a plan, and that's what I'm doing anyway.
Amen.
And I think the key to the whole thing is, can you hear me okay?
Go. Yes, go on.
Oh. The key to the whole thing is the love of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the gospel of peace and the kind of unrelenting love that's unconditional that you give to someone,
right.
And I like to say it doesn't have a return address.
Right.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Jose. Thank you for allowing me to share and Mike to share. We love you, brother.
We love you.
This is our space. This is our kingdom. This is the table of the Lord to us. Next
Amen.
Week, I hope to bring two more brothers, okay?
Let's break bread together. Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. I want to end the show with a song that all of us can hear and identify ourselves with this song. May the Lord bless you all, please. And tomorrow we will have Brother Marcus here, please. I'm counting with my family here, okay?
Okay.
See you.
Wonderful.
See you later. See you tomorrow. Bye,
okay.
Michael.
We
bye,
will.
Diana.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you
God
soon.
God bless you, my.
Okay.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bye.
Sleep.